and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And, we read about how the racist mass murderer in Jacksonville, who hunted and killed three Black people, left behind racist, anti-LGBTQ, and anti-Semitic rants in a state led by a racist, anti-LGBTQ bigot.
As you can imagine, that gives us a lot to talk about. Meanwhile, in Minneapolis, two men whose advances in a bar were rejected by two lesbians shot up the music venue, killing a musician.
Bomb threats against drag events in New Jersey and North Carolina.
On a lighter note, I'm going to tell you how Rachel Maddow won the week with her coverage of the Trump motorcade to his latest arrest in Fulton County, Georgia.
There was an historic win for an LGBTQ candidate in, wait for it, Mississippi.
It's really historic. Maryland parents who don't want their kids exposed to anything LGBTQ in schools lost a lawsuit to opt them out.
A Washington state town will vote on whether to defund their library over its openness to books on LGBTQ and race.
You don't like it, you just burn it down. Campus Pride is eliminating schools in Texas and Florida from its index of LGBTQ-friendly colleges.
Citing Pope Francis, Catholic schools in Worcester, Massachusetts institute anti-LGBTQ policies.
This is getting repetitive. An anti-gay farmer in Michigan won the right to sell his apples at a city market.
And we're going to tell you about the anti-LGBTQ crackdowns in Iraq, Nigeria, and Uganda. They have intensified.
They have. And I will tell you about the new lesbian teen high school fight club comedy movie Bottoms, which I saw this weekend.
Okay. Well, I wanted to start out with some positive news. So let's start with Fabian Nelson in Mississippi.
Sure.
This is an out gay candidate. He has won the Democratic nomination there for the state House of Representatives, and he will be the first, almost assured to win, he will be the first out LGBTQ lawmaker in the state. So it's the only state now to have no LGBTQ lawmaker ever is Louisiana. It's kind of
surprising. I know, surprising. You would think Louisiana would have had an LGBTQ person in their state legislature, but they haven't, and neither had Mississippi, or neither has Mississippi, but we are pretty confident that Fabian will win the November election for that state house seat and take Mississippi off the list of no state reps LGBTQ.
Mr. Nelson comes from a family of healthcare providers who have broken down barriers for the Black community. He's a foster parent. He ran a real estate firm in Byram, Mississippi. Medicaid expansion is his priority, and he's a longtime public health advocate.
Yeah, he sounds like a great guy with a great resume. And those of you who have been watching for years know that even one state representative who is LGBTQ can have a huge, huge voice in a state legislature and make a huge difference. Even if they can't stop bad legislation, their presence and their voice tends to energize people, citizens, a grassroots response all around the state. And that really leads to dynamic change. So it's very, very important that we have these people in office.
And some interesting and good news out of Boston. Mayor Michelle Wu WU, said that City Hall, the city, will no longer require people to specify their genders or sexual identities on their marriage licenses as part of a new slate of gender-aware guidelines to make the city more inclusive.
Yeah, I think that kind of information is used demographically so that they can figure out who's getting married. But as you think about it, you think, is that really crucially important? And might there be other ways to capture that information? So if it serves to stop intimidating people from getting married, that's great.
And let's talk about Virginia, where there's also some resistance. Several school districts are refusing to implement Governor Youngkin's anti-trans policies that force students to use bathrooms, pronouns, and names assigned to their sex at birth. Now, the state attorney general told the schools, you got to do it. But legal experts doubt that they're going to face consequences if they don't. And so the dissenters are Alexandria City, Arlington County, and Prince William County. They're all Democratic strongholds. The superintendent of Arlington schools said, I want our transgender, non-binary, and gender-fluid students to hear loud and clear that you belong here, you are valued, and we stand with you and support you.
I think one of the things they're threatening, if these counties remain rebellious, is to cut their funding. And we'll see how legal that is. But I don't think the right-wingers are going to sit back and say, oh, okay, you don't want to follow these rules? No problem.
Well, let them. I mean, their main goal is to just defund public education entirely, more about which later.
Exactly. Well, good news from Texas, where a district court has issued a temporary injunction stopping the law that bans medical care for trans youth that was supposed to go into effect September 1st. Texas is going to appeal that injunction. But then the people who won the injunction have the right to appeal that appeal. So we're optimistic that the law will stay in abeyance while all of that is worked on in court.
I think all this is, since there are so many different decisions on this, it's going to have to end up at the Supreme Court.
And of course, at the same time, Missouri court there is allowing the ban on trans youth medical care to go ahead and take effect. So, yes, you have competing decisions in different states, and that inevitably seems to be headed for the Supreme Court. And at this point, we're tempted to say we don't stand a chance there, but I can be a little more optimistic than that. I think decisions are a little more mixed there these days on some things, so not everything. So I'd like to think there is some hope that.
Let's get to some of the bad news. You know, we started last week's show with the murder of an LGBTQ ally, Lori Carlton, in California, who was shot by a Christian nationalist and anti-gay bigot over the rainbow flag outside her store. So we start this week horrified with the murders of, and I'll say their names, Gerald Deshaun Galleon, 29, Angela Michelle Carr, 52, and A.J. LeGuerre, Jr., 19, in Jacksonville, Florida, at Dollar Store by a 21-year-old racist armed with an AR-style rifle and a handgun with swastikas on it, whose sole mission was killing Black people in a dollar store. So, you know, they go crazed when they see a rainbow flag. They go crazed when they see black skin.
Well, he first went to a black college, got stopped by security guards and decided he'd be safer elsewhere, although he ended up killing himself, didn't he, after he killed the three people at the dollar store?
He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just as the anti-LGBTQ violence has not prompted any reflection on the part of Republican politicians and religious bigots, that their rhetoric and policies feed these, murders, the racist politicians like Ron DeSantis see no connection between their relentless attacks on teaching Black history and going after Black DEAs and going after affirmative action and this outrage perpetrated by someone who saw Black people as the enemy. So when DeSantis spoke at a little prayer service outside there. He got booed by a lot of people in attendance, black people in attendance. And, you know, where are the Republicans saying, you know, we've been wrong about our rhetoric. We got to tone it down. We can't go on like this.
Well, I do like, if you can put that picture up again for a second. He did get booed, and I like the woman in green giving him the little side eye there. I love the fact that people are beginning to react to him. Maybe the timing is right to kill his candidacy.
But it doesn't stop him. DeSantis's Board of Education voted to fire college employees who twice use a bathroom other than the one assigned to their sex at birth, despite being asked to leave. So now bearded trans men are now required to use women's restrooms, and trans women in women's attire or dress are now required to use the men's room. It's madness.
Well, it is madness because it's not going to be a calm playing out of this scenario when those people are forced to go into those bathrooms. They're going to be in great danger.
You know, at that Republican debate, such as it was, Ramaswamy blames the murders on anti-racist groups that he says are making racism an issue. That you're stirring things up, and that's what causes this.
Making race an issue stirs up the haters and killers.
Yes, it's all this emphasis on race that causes these problems.
He's a mess. You know, I did watch the debate with all those candidates, and they managed to slip in some anti-trans rhetoric. It wasn't quite as virulent as one might have expected, given their individual campaigns. But they got in some shots that were not appealing.
Yeah, I mean, DeSantis went after gender ideology.
Nikki Haley went after, you know, men are men and women are women.
Tim Scott did the same stuff. They know their talking points.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, in California's Bay Area, the FBI arrested 9 current and former police officers as part of a criminal investigation into racist text messages among dozens of law enforcement officials, mostly in Antioch, a town called Pittsburgh, 2 cities east of San Francisco. The Antioch officials also exchanged misogynistic and anti-gay text messages between 2019 and 2022. They were investigated for widespread civil rights violations, excessive force, and falsification of records. And, you know, the vileness of their texts, I will not read them to you, really no bottom. They were really letting loose.
And this is a frequent occurrence. We see these cases week after week after week, and then people wonder why we have any question about law enforcement and how they react to things. I watch MSNBC and I see all these ex-FBI leaders on there saying, you know, how dare they attack the FBI? Do you know the history of the FBI and the CIA? And there are reasons we were going after these people years ago and more currently.
I don't know how J. Edgar Hoover's name is still on the FBI building. I mean, he's the guy, and I will just say this to quote him. He used to refer to Martin Luther King Jr., who we celebrated this week, 60th anniversary of the March in Washington, as Martin Lucifer Coon. That's the way he talked about him. Take his name off that building.
I will predict, and I may not be alive to see it, but I predict that someday they will.
And by the way, the black Orlando DA, who was fired by DeSantis for allegedly not prosecuting certain low-level offenders, Monique Worrell, was in the process of investigating a cover-up of conspiracy among law officers who were faking documents to disguise accusations of abusive behavior, crimes DeSantis wants to cover up, just as he excuses all 91 of the counts against Donald Trump.
All right. Should we have a moment of amusement on Donald Trump before we go back to horror stories?
I can't wait.
All right. So I'm watching the Donald Trump motorcade to the Fulton County Jail in Georgia. And I'm watching MSNBC and they're doing special coverage anchored by Rachel Maddow. And she's got, you know, half a dozen people on either side of her and live reporters at the scene. And the video of the motorcade comes up. You can put up that still picture now. And Rachel looks at this and she says to the reporter on the scene, reminds me of the Pride Parade. And the reporter on the scene says, well, I don't know about that. You know, it's the president, the ex-president's motorcade and, you know, his security cars and the motorcycle cops and everything. And she says, well, my reference is to the fact that traditionally the pride parades are led by dykes on bikes. She actually said that on the air, dykes on bikes. And the whole panel sits there, stunned silence. They have no idea what to say to that.
Well, I would say, Rachel, it's actually the sirens. The proper name.
She was using the generic term.
Indeed. And that's who does lead the march every year.
That's why it's important to have LGBTQ people in positions of power so they can make references on national television in the middle of a Trump special to dykes on bikes. To me, that won the week. You know, I have mixed feelings about her. I have mixed feelings about Whoopi Goldberg. But when they do something genius, I give them credit.
Okay. All right. Back to the bad news. In Fort Worth, Texas, a heavily armed man was arrested at the LGBTQ Inclusive Unitarian Church after killing a dog and threatening further carnage. This guy, Roman Collins, 26, entered the church wearing a tactical vest stuffed with ammunition and a holstered gun and a rifle. The dog he killed turned out to be his own. He was booked on charges of domestic terrorism, cruelty to non-livestock animals, and weapons possession. He's apparently a member of this congregation, and he's obviously a disturbed individual, but police are not treating it as a hate crime.
Well, he's sort of, how could you not treat it as a hate crime? But he sort of turned himself in. He went to the church, and he talked to the pastor and said, I am going to, you know, yes, commit violence.
Yes, I urge all of you considering violence to turn yourselves in first.
Please.
Don't take it for the rest of us.
Yeah. In New York City, they arrested someone for the vandalizing of the rainbow and trans flags at Christopher Park. Was done. Yes, they have a guy in custody. They're seeking a couple of other guys in connection with this. And there was another homophobic attack on West Street, and they're looking for, they have a picture of that guy circulating. These attacks, small and large, are occurring everywhere, including in New York City.
They did
get one guy for you know, we showed the picture last week when we were talking to Charlie Beal as one of the attacks on the flag. And you saw the little flags on the ground. They'd all been torn off their fence posts and stomped on.
That's at the Stonewall National Monument. I remember when those statues were going up in Christopher Park, where the Stonewall National Monument is. It's a George Segal statue of two men together and two women together. That's all it is. And it's called Gay Liberation. And there are a lot of people in the neighborhood fighting it. You know, it's going to be vandalized all the time. And I remember testifying and saying, better the statues than me, you know, take it out.
Well, they're also controversial because they're whitewashed.
Oh, yes.
In Minneapolis, a couple of men went into a bar music place. Tried to hit on a couple of lesbians who said, you know, you're not my type. And they got furious and they started shooting. They killed one musician. They injured six others.
The crowd
heaven forbid you'd be rejected.
The crowd is called Nudie Land. Person killed was August Golden, 35, a cisgender musician. In response to the shooting, the gay leather bar, the Eagle, said it would take extra measures to protect people there, especially during the Gay Softball World Series this past week.
And in Ferndale, California, in Humboldt County, where we've talked about several incidents recently, they held a chili cook-off event, and some guy showed up drunk and proceeded to fag bash and attack a gay male couple who are local semi-celebrities, well-known, known as the Foggy Bottoms Boys. Kind of cute. And he ran over their equipment, back over it after running over it the first time. He later apologized quite profusely and said, you know, I was very drunk. I don't know why I did it, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking alcohol should be put in the same category as guns, as a danger point, something we need to deal with.
Well, we don't know who vandalized the Pride murals in Orlando at the LGBT Community Center. They were defaced on Friday with Nazi and Christian nationalist hate speech, including quoting the Bible that we were abominations. The murals were created by something called Zebra Youth, an LGBTQ youth organization, celebrating pride and transgender joy. All right.
Yeah. All right. Is that our, I think that's our current list of violent attacks. But of course there are others. Oh, there was another thing. Was this the DeSantis video? Did you see this? I don't know if it was at that same press conference. I don't think so, for the three people who were killed. Because he was giving a speech in South Carolina to a fairly large crowd. And someone in the crowd, a protester, got up holding up a rainbow flag. He was dragged out. And DeSantis, as the guy is under arrest or custody and is being dragged out, DeSantis gets very brave and starts yelling at him and saying, don't bring your perversion into this room. Leave our kids alone. And the crowd gives him a standing ovation.
Ugh. Terrible. All right. You know, I read all about, actually was not aware of his name. Perhaps you were, Michael Farris. F-A-R-R-I-S. He's a lawyer who's behind Alliance Defending Freedom and the homeschooling movement and trying to get rid of the public schools. They did a big profile of him in the Washington Post. And he is also the founder of Patrick Henry College that caters to homeschoolers. And he is credited with making this whole parental rights thing the political issue that it is. But one of the things I found encouraging in reading about all this stuff is that you saw it in the Governor Youngkin getting elected in Virginia, and they're all raising these issues. 70% of the Republican candidates for school board in 2022 lost. That we didn't do so badly. I thought, we were getting overwhelmed. The right wing is spending millions of dollars on these school board races, but people are getting woke up to it and voting against it.
Well, and now we're seeing little, I want to say brush fires to indicate their size, but these are real issues and they're increasing exponentially across the country. So they do worry me, this whole battle that's going on between parents demanding the right to control everything that's going on in the schools, whether it's books or curriculum or they're knowing about their kids experimenting with different gender identities, and the schools battling back and saying, no, the kids have a right to privacy. I read a big piece in the LA Times this week where Erwin Chemerinsky, it's approximately his name, who, well-known lawyer in L.A., talking about the competing privacy rights of parents and kids and what a conundrum this is for schools and how this is likely to be headed to the Supreme Court. So, for instance, the Attorney General of California is now suing the Chino Valley School District to stop them from outing trans kids to their parents. And that's a local battle. In
Let's stay on that. I mean, you know, we've got the famously right-wing head of that school board, Sonja Shaw. She says the policy protects trans students since parents wouldn't be told if a student expresses fears that they may face danger over their gender identity, in which case, she says, employees would tell protective services or the police that there's a threat, like she's so concerned about them. But, you know, she says, you know, they're proposing things that pervert children, and parents have a constitutional right in the upbringing of their children. This is their big thing.
Yes, that is their big thing. But there is also a whole strain of jurisprudence that talks about the privacy rights of kids, minors, yes, in schools. And this is the competition. In North Spokane, Washington, Spokane being a conservative area in the eastern part of the state of Washington, they're having this same debate between the parents and the schools about what rights the kids have to privacy around these issues. And in Katy, Texas, the school board has just voted for a policy that would allow parents to be told anything about their kids and takes away any privacy rights the kids might have.
Well, and then there's the libraries, a rural county in Washington State, Columbia. They're going to soon be voting on whether to dissolve the local library entirely after library officials refused to remove 11 books dealing with LGBTQ issues and the issues of consent and themes of racism. Kids can't learn about these things. Books included things like This Book Is Gay, The Black Friend, and Yes, No, A First Conversation About Consent. The library board reviewed the books and voted to keep them on the shelves and move them to the adult section. But backers of the ballot question in November say there is age-appropriate sexual material in the children's section. Well, if it's age-appropriate, what's the problem, of course?
Well, what they mean is age-inappropriate, or books that should be only available to kids on the basis of age appropriateness. They all need to go back to school for a little education. In Florida, the Department of Education, under attack on these issues, issued a memorandum saying that the rules about books and curriculum and Don't Say Gay do not apply to school libraries. It only applies to classroom teaching and books. And yet school districts all over Florida are ignoring this memorandum and continuing to strip libraries of any book that mentions LGBTQ, which is, in fact, what this whole trend is. Erase us, make us invisible, wipe us out completely. Which, of course, is what's happening all over Africa and Asia. We'll get to that later.
I remember when we were invisible. I'd go to the library. The only books that I could find were, you know, anti-gay psychiatrists. A Mississippi library has banned the Heartstopper graphic novel series after angry parents demanded this young adult series about high school students, including some gay couples, be banished to the adult section. Marion County Public Library in Columbia, Mississippi. One resident claimed homosexuals were using these books to recruit your kid, my kid, and grandkid to get into that lifestyle. The only sex, of course, in the book, the boys kiss a little bit. Now minors are going to need parental consent to read books.
This is all about just acknowledging our existence.
Hey, kids, Heartstopper Season 2 is on Netflix now.
Well, better news from Maryland, where a judge has rejected a lawsuit that tried to bar LGBTQ books. The judge says these books are not sex education. They're just books that happen to include LGBTQ people or animals or themes. And he pointed out books like Pride Puppy, which is, a puppy who belongs to a gay couple, I think, and Uncle Bobby's Wedding, about kids going to their gay uncle's wedding to another man. And the judge said, you cannot describe these as sex education. They're not. They are about people's lives, and you cannot bar them. And that's a great decision from that Maryland judge.
You know, when people talk about straight relationships, they don't just think entirely in terms of sex. But when they think of us, that's what all they think of. I remember when Laura Hobson wrote her book, her gay book. You know, she's the one who wrote Gentleman's Agreement. She had a gay son. She wrote about him. And the central character, the mother in the book, said, why do I keep thinking about my son, you know, and having sex with another man? I don't think of that with my daughter, who's married to a man. I mean, why is that? And that's what they just think of it as sex.
Well, unfortunately, when the term sexual orientation and homosexual are prominent in our description, I think it plants that seed. I'm not blaming us for that. I'm just, you ask where that comes from.
Yes.
I think that's part of it.
Well, we've tried to pretty much banish the word homosexual as a noun for us. I remember you taking on a New York State High Court justice about that once.
I certainly did, and I would do it again. I relish those opportunities.
Hey, you know, the film about Bayard Rustin that was produced by the Obamas is coming to Netflix in November, and the trailer's out. We'll link to it. His name is in the news as the organizer, of course, of the 1963 March on Washington. They had the 60th anniversary. They had some LGBTQ speakers, including the head of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, LGBT Task Force, and Alan Roscoff of the Jim Owls Liberal Democratic Club in New York, but also because the Bayard Rustin Center for Social Justice in Princeton, New Jersey, got a bomb threat last Saturday for hosting a local drag performer as part of their anti-book banning group, Defenders of the Right to Read. There were 50 people in attendance at this thing, but then they got the bomb threat and they had the police come and they you got to clear out. They went to another location. So the drag queen said, made it a fun thing for the kids so as not to alarm them, doing a conga dance over to the new place. But wow, it's just too much. And of course, you know, and I don't want to make, you know, bad comparisons, but this, it's a reminder that the week after the March on Washington in 63 was the Birmingham bombing that took the lives of four little girls. And we're reading about all the violence that's coming our way against Black people, against people who stand up for gay rights. And, you know.
Yes, it seems to be cyclical and makes one wonder about the ability of the human race to learn and improve.
And then in Jackson County, North Carolina, they have something called the Mix Silva. Silva's the town, Pride Pageant. It's a drag ball. And they got the space at a local library, and they started getting threats. So they did manage to get the police there on time outside there, but they complained that it wasn't enough. But of course now the county commissioners are complaining, what's a drag thing doing in public space? We're going to get a law to ban that.
And it has become apparent that the vast majority of complaints about LGBTQ books in the state of Florida come from two people. Is that going to penetrate people's consciousness? Is that going to make them back off this approach? Who knows? But a couple of other things. In Tennessee, a court, you know, all along we have worried that court decisions that give religious adoption agencies the right to reject us as adoptive parents were going to get other people in trouble too. And sure enough, a Methodist adoption agency in Tennessee rejected a Jewish couple as adoptive parents and said, No, you're the wrong religion. You can't adopt kids from our agency. And the court said, no, you cannot discriminate in that way. That is not constitutional.
Well, Well, the appellate court, actually, what they said in this case is that they do have a right to sue about this. So we'll see how the suit turns out, because the lower court didn't even give them that right. This is an Americans United for the Separation of Church and State case. But in Michigan, that fruit grower we told you about, who was barred by East Lansing, a liberal town, from its seasonal market because his farm discriminates against same-sex weddings, well, he won a federal suit under U.S. District Judge Paul Maloney, a George W. Bush appointee, who said the exclusion constituted a burden on the farmer's religious beliefs. So in the libertarian spirit, people can decide whether or not they want to buy apples from Steve Tennis. That's his name. Everyone is apparently welcome to buy his apples, he says, unless I suppose you're buying them for same-sex weddings or some other homosexual purpose.
I don't know. Didn't it feel a little creepy to you that he would be barred from selling at the farmer's market?
Well, I mean, they're saying he runs a discriminatory business. I mean, that's where it came from. You know, it's arguable.
It is. Update on Matt Schlapp of the American Conservative Union. Well, you know, he's being sued by the guy who worked for Herschel Walker for accusing Matt of groping him quite vigorously as he was giving Matt a ride home from some event. Drunk, of course, not the driver, Matt. So it turns out that Matt, who claims he never did anything like this, actually tried to settle the suit, which would argue against his innocence. But so that's a sort of revelation. The American Conservative Union is in disarray. People are quitting. They're having infighting over this stuff. Their finances are a mess, and they're being forensically audited. And a couple of other male staffers have stepped forward to accuse Matt of similar behavior. So it just couldn't be happening to nicer guys.
Right.
This may be resolved.
On the other hand, in Florida, a Trump-appointed judge, Wendy Berger, rejected a second challenge to the Don't Say Gay law. It's a Lambda Legal, Southern Legal Counsel, and Southern Poverty Law Center case. They sued on behalf of students, parents, and a nonprofit seeking an injunction and in this new filing. And the judge just said, no.
What was that?
Two of the plaintiffs lack standing, she said. Rejected the argument that a gay dad had to censor himself when he was a chaperone on a school trip by not being able to reference his husband.
Well, something similar in Georgia, back to the land of education. This guy, Mark Nobleman, has written a book called Batman and Bill, and it's all about the creation of the Batman character and who did it and fights over that. And in the course of giving talks about this at elementary schools, he mentioned that one of the relatives involved was gay.
The son of the guy who was the creators, he had a gay son who was deceased.
Yes. But the gay son had a daughter who resurrected his claim and his right to a claim in this. And so Nobleman was telling this story, and the school principal freaked out. You're not allowed to say that. That's against the law in Georgia. You can't say gay in a classroom.
Certainly don't do it when you go talk to, this was fifth graders, certainly don't do it when you go to the third grade. So he did it again.
He didn't in the next class, but then he thought, oh, that's stupid. And then he started saying it again in subsequent things.
So they threw him out.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he didn't censor himself. And this is something we all have to consider. Look, I see people on Facebook, friends who are activists, a little concerned about wearing certain kinds of T-shirts that advertise what we're all for.
Yeah.
Because of the violence that we're experiencing.
Well, we have just spent half an hour going through stories of violence, and it's not, including in New York City, and it's not crazy to be concerned about that. Although we would like not to be. And one person we'd like to censor himself is Alice Cooper, who went on a an anti-trans rant. And so a cosmetics company, Vampire Cosmetics, women, LGBTQ, and disabled owned, said, we don't want Alice Cooper to represent us anymore. So he's out as a spokesman for.
Yeah, he was saying, you know, kids are coming out trans as a fad due to social contagion and peer pressure. He went on to say, trans women pose a threat to women in public bathrooms. I mean, this is just right wing talking points. I guess he'll be voting Republican, and that schools are installing litter boxes for students who identify as cats.
Please,
you must be watching too much Fox News. You need to tune into Gay USA. Alice.
I don't know if even Fox News is talking about litter boxes anymore. Maybe OAN. But in better news, in upstate New York, Broome County, trans woman Mikayla Holland, 25 years old, has been awarded $160,000 for the horrendous abuse she suffered in jail there. Misgendered her. They physically abused her endlessly. They refused her medication. And so she sued, and she's gotten this big award and a promise of new policies for treatment of trans prisoners in certainly that jail and maybe all over New York State.
Very interesting. Again,
we don't have much faith in the system.
The group Campus Pride, you know, chooses LGBTQ-friendly schools, rates them on all kinds of levels. But they said, we're not doing Texas and Florida anymore for now because of all those anti-LGBTQ laws there. But if you want to go to, you can go to campuspride.org and campuspride.index.org, and you can read the list and see how your alma mater or school you want to go to fares. Grindr workers say the company is cracking down on their unionization efforts with a return to office plan that could force many to relocate or lose their jobs. The company refuses to negotiate with the union. Workers are demanding a guarantee of remote work with flexible hours and health benefits, including gender affirming care, and to close racial and gender pay gaps. The app has revenue of $61.5 million just in the second quarter.
Very few management operations want to have anything to do with unions. It's a very knee-jerk reaction. So should we talk about Marty Algaes?
Yeah, longtime gay activist and political operative, Marty Algaes. That's him on the right there with our friend Pauline Park, transgender activist. He was 72. It was rather sudden because people were in communication with him right up until the end and had no inkling of it. He was a former president of the Stonewall Democratic Club, a top aide to Assemblymember Dick Gottfried here in Chelsea, where he worked on a host of LGBTQ issues, from marriage equality to gender, which is the transgender rights bill. He also worked for Deputy Mayor Fran Ryder in the Giuliani administration, and he got the Stonewall Club to endorse Rudy over Ruth Messenger in 1997.
Terrible.
But anyway, look, it's nice to see Giuliani not only indicted in Georgia for his role in the conspiracy to overthrow the election, but for a federal judge to rule that he's liable for defaming two Georgia election workers, two black women, Ruby Freeman and Shay, gotta get her name, Moss. He viciously destroyed their lives and, you know, compared them to drug dealers, which is his typical way of doing things.
I enjoy the columns that point out that Rudy was never America's mayor. He was always a horrible person.
Right.
And he did not deserve any of the praise he got along the way. That was all nonsense. And, you know, 9/11, he after the World Trade Center was first bombed in, 1993?
Yes.
He puts the police communications office in a World Trade Center tower, which was later blown up.
Exactly. I mean, we could go on and on.
About we this, could. You know, racist, homophobe.
New York does not elect very many progressive mayors.
Not a lot, no. Should we go on to international news?
Let's do. The India Supreme Court has issued a handbook for judges urging them to shun words such as seductress, vamp, spinster, and harlot when referring to women. The handbook also counsels that marriage is not the remedy to the violence of rape. Some judges have urged rapists to marry their victims to avoid dishonor for the women.
I think we only have about 13 minutes left, so I think we're going to have to move a little faster through all of this. Spain, the Women's World Cup soccer champions, and the whole thing about the kiss by the Spanish Federation. There's the kiss. That is not a voluntary kiss with the player. You know, I happened to be watching the game and watched the whole ceremony afterwards and saw this guy and didn't know who he was, but thought to myself, who is he? He keeps taking every player, not just that one, and giving them these huge hugs and that were completely inappropriate. And then you see the video of him grabbing his crotch when the game was over, standing next to the Queen of Spain and her daughter. And then this kiss happens. I mean, this guy is a menace. So Luis Rubiales and at first the local federation stood up for him, and the FIFA suspended him finally.
But the women said they weren't going to play if he's still there.
Exactly. And 11 coaches resigned. So now it looks like even the federation has abandoned him now. And prosecutors are investigating. I think he's done for, and he should be, because he really is a 100% creep. And if you saw that video of what he did to every one of the players, you'd see what I'm talking about.
His mother, of course, is trying to save him with a hunger strike at a church.
Oh, God.
In Israel, we told you about the murder of Sarit Ahmad, a lesbian woman. Her brother has now been charged in her murder for hiring two guys to kill her in her hometown of Kisra Sumi. She was getting relentless death threats from the brothers. They locked them up for a while over this. That didn't cure them. They came out and hired these guys and to kill.
An honor killing, because she would bring such dishonor to the family by being who she was.
Iraq is banning words too. The media regulator ordered all media and social media not to use the term homosexuality, instead to say sexual deviance.
But Brazil, the Supreme Court ruled 9-1 that homophobic hate speech against an individual can be prosecuted and can bring a prison term.
And Canada updated its travel advisory for the United States to warn LGBTQ travelers that they're at risk of being affected by all the new anti-LGBTQ laws in the states.
Well, everything we're reporting here sounds very similar to what's going on around the world. In Uganda, they have now charged the first gay man with aggravated homosexuality. They've charged a few others with regular homosexuality. But this guy who had sex with a 41-year-old man is being charged.
Well, they're not saying what he did. They're not saying why it's aggravated, but he faces being hanged for this.
Right.
And last week, two women and two men were arrested on suspicion of homosexuality. So you can really have a witch hunt in this country. You don't like somebody? Say, I suspect they're homosexual. The police will take them away.
Coming to a state near you. In Nigeria, the cops raided what they called a gay wedding, arrested 200 people. The people there claimed it was a fashion show. Take your pick.
They faced up to 14 years in prison for this. 67 were detained after initial investigations. All right.
In London, Peter Tatchell, a veteran iconic activist who's campaigning to get all police departments to apologize to gay people for their treatment of them, has gotten the London police commissioner to apologize quite graciously and generously for her police force's treatment of LGBTQ people.
Back to Uganda for a second. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield, was on the Maddow show and said there's no implementation of that new Uganda law. I mean, this is what she said. And, you know, she needs to be taken to task for that and to be speaking out. I mean, maybe she didn't know about these current arrests, but now she knows and she needs to say something.
And to say that there had been no implementation when it had just been passed, and you look at Uganda's history of violence to LGBTQ people, is shameful. Okay. All right, good news. Back to London, where out wrestler Anthony Bowens, 32 years old, has won the All Elite Wrestling World Championship in the trios category.
This is in front of 80,000 fans at Wembley Stadium.
And in Brazil, out gay gymnast Arthur Nori has won a lot of medals, including a gold medal at the National Gymnastics Championships.
And headed for the Olympics.
All right. And we're headed for, you have some, I don't.
Well, a national panel of medical experts has endorsed the injectable version of PrEP in a move that will require insurance providers to fully cover the shots.
I think we've been talking about that, but no, yes.
This was just done on August 22nd. Injectable PrEP is a great way, especially for people who have trouble taking pills, except it costs too much. I mean, for anybody who doesn't have it, it costs $22,500 a year if you don't have insurance.
Which is why insurance coverage is important. But then everybody pays those high prices to the insurance companies, which is why it is good that the Biden administration is now starting the process of negotiating prices with pharmaceutical companies to bring down the prices overall so that none of us are having to contribute to those enormous profits of the pharmaceutical companies.
Okay. Entertainment news?
Yes.
We covered the case of Scott Johnson, a young gay man who was murdered in Australia in 1988, thrown off a cliff. This happened to many other young men, but it was ruled a suicide. His brother, Steve, pursued justice for him for 35 years, a quest that was rewarded in June with a conviction. The story is told in a four-part series on Hulu that bows on September 6th. It's called Never Let Him Go. There were upwards of 80 such murders.
Yes, and we've talked about that in many contexts over the years, so this movie should be quite interesting. And there is another movie coming in the month of September, Cassandro, about an out gay, very famous, very popular wrestler and being played in this biographical movie by Gael Garcia Bernal, who has been, of course, a huge star for years. It's coming to theaters September 15th and to Prime Video September 22nd, and that's getting a lot of buzz as a really great production.
And tell me about Bottoms.
Bottoms. Well, I was really looking forward to this. That's Rachel Sennott on the left and Ayo Edebiri on the right, who you may know from either The Bear, which I just watched this weekend at a friend's urging, or The Idol, which bit the dust after a few episodes. I like them both. And this is a lesbian teen high school comedy. They are nerdy lesbians who have crushes on fancy girls. And they decide the way to get their attention is to start a fight club in the high school. And they get about a dozen members of this fight club. And they are punching each other. There is blood. It is... is a little violent in a comic context. This movie, it's, as the New Yorker critic said, I had to agree with this, it's not a great movie, but it's very watchable and it has its moments of humor. It's not as uproarious as I wanted it to be. But I'm telling you, on the $4 movie day on Sunday, the theater was packed at 10:15 in the morning.
Where do they have a $4 movie in New York?
You're not paying attention.
No, I'm not.
Sunday was $4 movie day, I think, across the country. Oh. So I decided that was my opportunity to see Bottom. So I was glad I didn't pay $15 or whatever it is these days. It was worth $4. It is amusing. People are calling it revolutionary. I'm not sure it's revolutionary.
I've always thought that's a good way to review plays and movies. How much would you pay to see this?
Yeah, well, that's how much I did pay and was not sorry to have paid.
Well, congratulations to country singer Ty Herndon. He married Alex Schwartz in a country chic wedding in Chapmansboro, Tennessee. Was a lot of trouble. 300 guests, including Kristen Chenoweth and Sally Struthers. Schwartz is a craftsman who restores mid-century furniture and makes stained glass art. Herndon came out back in 2014 after 2 decades in the music industry, and he said, "We hope that by sharing this day and our love with others, we can let everyone know that miracles are possible. Love is love, and justice ultimately wins every time. If only."
Hey, they're showing up for gay weddings in Nashville. What can I say? But bad news, Amazon Prime has canceled season 2 of A League of Their Own, which I thought was a very successful version of the former movie. They were going to do 4 episodes only, but they're not doing them. Amazon is kind of blaming the writers and actors strike. But Abby Jacobson, the creator, says, no, this is about discrimination. They don't want to do a primarily lesbian series. They're not doing it. And she also points out that HBO canceled Gentleman Jack. Amazon canceled another couple of lesbian productions, The Wilds and Paper Girls. Netflix canceled Warrior Nun and First Kill. And the CW canceled Batwoman. So there seemed, watch out, the lesbian movies and series are not working.
Well, I was on the picket line with SAG-AFTRA this week with Julie Halston.
Okay. And there is something I'm looking forward to, but it has no release date yet, which is a biographical picture of Lil Nas X, Long Live Montero. It's Lil Nas X on tour. It's playing at the Toronto International Film Festival coming up. But as I say, no release date yet. If you want to, lobby for that, please do. We'd like to see that movie. Next week, Maren Johns will be here in this chair, not this exact chair. And the week after that, Chris Cooper will be filling in for me. So you've got a couple of fun weeks coming up, Andy.
We'll miss you, Anne, but we welcome Maren and Chris.
And you. We're done. We're done. Goodbye.